know that there has had to have been some sacrifice, whether it's time or nutrition or whatever it is.
I was recording myself talking about having a relationship with my chest.
I'm Ben Cunning.
I'm Dave Kennedy.
And this is Hacking Health Podcast.
It's fucking past 2 p.m. and you're drinking caffeine. It's past the caffeine curfew. I know what time it is over there.
Okay, right now. I don't
it
even care.
It is quarter past 4 p.m.
and you're drinking caffeine. And I'm going to be drinking some wine here shortly too, so.
Well, that's okay, but don't be come not because you have bad sleep. Anyway, yo, welcome back. What episode are we on? 137?
137-ish. Sounds good.
Last week we weren't involved. It was the team. I will say this, and I know you listened to it because you sent me a message about it, and I also know that you listened all the way through because the bit that you sent me a message about was right at the end, so nice job. The bit where Dill said at the end of the last podcast, like, even two up to right now, I don't know if this worked. I think they absolutely nailed it because we had this on a whim. I was like, right, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to set this up in the basketball court and we'll just rotate through everybody. And Dill was like, right now? I was like, yes. And he was like, okay. But I think you fucking nailed it. It was one of my favorite episodes.
It was awesome, first of all. I mean, just absolutely talented, highly gifted. I mean, he was cranking out those videos every night, like, and throughout the day and everything. I mean, the guy's just a machine. So I was really impressed. And I thought the podcast for last week, you know, obviously it was recorded a few weeks ago from Phoenix, but it turned out really, really good. And it was really cool to hear everybody's perspectives. And it's funny because, you know, you listen to some of the folks that have been here for quite a long time, you know, and instill some of the knowledge there. And some of the folks are just starting off, and you can really appreciate where everybody has come from, where they are now and where they're going, and knowing that they're on such an awesome path. And it was just really great to hear everybody talk and speak and, you know, hear the, I think that what I heard the most was the confidence, right?
Yeah.
Like they know that everything they want to do is attainable. And it's up to them.
Yeah.
I think that's the really cool part.
I think a couple of things. Number one, it was a huge reminder of me as to like the quality of what we are doing with We Hack Health, the diversity of it, because everybody's goals and everybody's like journeys are so different. But also the one thing that I was kind of worried about is that, you know, in that sort of space, it would have been quite easy for everybody just to repeat the same conversation because people were coming in at different points and nobody knew what had been said. But I think that there were many different topics that were covered over like a relatively short space of time. I'm not sure how many people there were total, but like it was 90 minutes of a podcast. So many different perspectives, so many different questions. It was, yeah, definitely one of my favorite episodes. And I was actually with Dill last Tuesday after I listened to it and after I went out. And I was like, there's so many bits of that we need to just pull as shorts because I think there's a lot of quality, just like one liners from a few different people.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, really quality episode. And if you haven't listened to it, go back to the last episode. I think it's 136 and listen to it because it absolutely encapsulates not what we do in We Hack Health, but what we do on the inside, like what happens with the clients and the relationships are formed and the journeys that they go on and the importance of that and what it means to them to be there and what lifting camp is about and just being around everybody. It was, yeah, a good reminder. And then I had off the back of that catch up calls with everybody and I had just a really good week last week, catching up with everybody and seeing what was going on. And just again, a reminder of a fucking opportunity of working with just cool people across the world. And I just get to sit here in my house and talk to them on Zoom and make sure that they're hitting their goals and everybody's good. It was good. I had a good week last week as a bit of a reminder.
That's awesome. Yeah. Again, you know, Phoenix was a great event. I just got back from a week long vacation. I was in Roatan, Honduras.
Is your tan real or is that still?
That is a real tan.
Ooh,
and by the way, yeah. This is the, yeah. It's a real tan.
No filter? You got no filter?
No. I am tan. Yes.
Is this the first time in 41 years?
42 years that I've ever been tan. And I will say this is the first vacation I've ever been on where I didn't burn myself. Like I was really impressed. Like this is a whole new lease on life.
A whole new Dave.
Well, the funny part was I started going tanning with Aaron ahead of time at like the tanning salon or tanning booth or whatever the hell whatever you call the places, the tanning place.
And call it the electric beach.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. And it's funny because they have this one machine there that is like it scans your skin tone. So like you have this like little like scanner and you scan your skin tone here and you scan your skin tone here and it on your forehead and on your arm. and it adjusts automatically so you don't burn. And it worked really well. It's like a 15-minute tan, but it, you know, lowers it to just get you a good base tan. And so I was doing this for like a month, and I was starting to get fairly tan. I get in there, they're like, hey, by the way, in order to tan, you really need this $100 lotion that is going to make your tan better. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, sounds good, you know? And I'm like, idiot, obviously. I have no idea what the hell I'm doing at this place. I'm completely out of place with these people that tan regularly. But I left with a base tan, and I was in the sun pretty much the entire time I was there, and it was hot, but it was beautiful. My kids got scuba certified the first 2 days, so we kind of just hung out at the little scuba house that was there. It was right in this town called West End, and so a lot of like shops and things like that. So it was a great trip, and I caught a 50-pound wahoo, which thank God I lift. But the funny story is that
in my head, you just caught it with your bare hands. Don't tell me anything.
I don't want to jump in. I dove down 250 feet, which is where they're at for depth. And snagged that bad boy. Yeah. And I was like, it's mine. Like, I started biting into it as they're just getting raw sushi in the water. But but what was funny about it was the boat captain's like, hey, so you're pretty muscular. I'm like, yeah, I lift a little bit here and there or whatever, you know. And he's like, so we had this big boy that was here as well, and he was reeling in a fish. And he was struggling. It took him like 10 minutes and he was dying and he could barely do it. And out comes a 10-pound tuna, a little tiny baby, little tiny fish. And he's like, you better not be that guy. And I'm like, oh God, you know, like my family's like laughing their ass off. And so we get to this thing and they catch it and they know what it is because there's certain like depths that they keep the certain rods at. So it was like six rods going at a given time. Okay. And each one's at a different depth to try to catch different types of fish that stay at those levels. And so they knew what it was, but they wouldn't say it. And so I didn't know. And I'm like, please don't be an effing 10-pound fish, because like this thing is murdering my ass right now. Like I was dying. I was reeling this thing and I'm like, and I'm dripping in sweat. Like I'm just like from head to toe drenched. It's like 90 degrees outside. My right arm died. Like it's like, I'm out. It checked out. Like the muscles were gone. Like there's like, I know I've been training hard.
I imagine though, like this is the thing that gets me of people who don't lift, who comment on people who obviously lift weights. It's like, you know, it's the same as the opening the jar thing. I'm like, I don't practice that specific movement in the jar. Like I don't practice reeling in a fish. Like I'm not strong at doing that.
Right. It's what you train for, right? but you know, here's this big guy struggling with a 10-pound tuna. It was gonna be ridiculous, you know. And my kids would never let that go, trust me. So when I'm doing it, I'm not letting anybody know I'm exhausted. But I am like dead inside. Like my body's like, you need to shut down. Whatever you're doing is messing you up. So the guy, the other like fisherman guy was with us on the boat, because we rented this private boat, and he's helping me pull the string. But what's actually happening is the wahoo fishes are extremely intelligent, and they fight you the whole way. So they're at 250 feet and they're fighting you the entire time, and your whole goal, and it's got like this it's got this like tension in the line. So that if it pulls too hard, if you were pulling and it was pulling, it would snap the line, right? So it has some bend in it where it'll keep like going outward, and I'm reeling in and it's going outward and I'm fighting this damn thing and it's getting further away. And I'm like, am I doing this right? It's like, keep going. I'm like, all right, I'm about to die here. You know, and it's this fight for like 10 solid minutes while you're trying to wear this fish out, to where eventually the fish gets too exhausted, as I was exhausted. And I won. So I eventually reeled him in, and here I got this 50-pound, you know, wahoo. And thank God it was 50 pounds, because I was like, I literally collapsed to the floor and I couldn't stand up for a second. And I had to like get my bearings in. I was like, okay, it's time for me to get up now. Thank God it's a 50-pounder, because I would have been so embarrassed. But it was that impressive of a fish that all the captain, all the took pictures with it. Like they're like, we haven't caught one of these in like 8 years. It was like a amazing, like, I guess, feat. And he's like, I've never seen that big of a fish on this boat before. So congratulations. Nice. So I was like, oh, hell yeah. So nice. I was like, yeah, this is what the lifting does, you know?
And that is why you should lift weights.
Yeah, but what was great about the whole trip is, you know, I'd spoken to you about just not feeling great, right? And this will get into discussion for today. But you know, I've been dragging ass for some reason. Even in Phoenix, my energy levels were just really low. And I had trouble concentrating. I was just kind of all over the place. And you know, I was dealing with a lot of stressors and at work, you know, nothing bad, just a lot of stuff going on at a given just time.
The stress of owning multiple companies, normal stress.
It's so hard to explain to people. Like I remember when I had just one job and I was working for somebody and my task was like this, you know, straight north arrow of what I need to do. And yes, I had meetings and distractions, things like that, but my job wasn't ever like, you know, an insane, crazy, you know, distraction thing. And what I have to do with having multiple jobs is I literally have to shift my brain power 500 times a day on 500 different things at 500 decisions that, you know, can impact the company in one way or the other. And it's just like random stuff like, hey, you got this HR thing. Hey, I got to go meet with the customer. Hey, this customer's pissed. Hey, you got to write a report over here for this customer. Hey, this customer's requesting you time. Hey, you got to book your flights for next week because you have this keynote. Hey, by the way, you have a keynote tomorrow. You know, it's like, you know, so it's like all of these things that I...
And I'm just here being like, do you want to record a podcast?
And it's like, my mind is just always going out there. And it was, what's interesting, I'll talk a little bit of personal, you know, I got diagnosed when I was a kid for having like ADHD or ADD or whatever, but my parents never put me on any medicine. And I've always dealt with it. I've never taken medicine. You know, I always look at it as a superpower because I can process 10 things at a given time. And then I get hyper focused on something that I really enjoy doing. Right. So like if I obviously like lifting and things like that. Right. So it's to me, it's always been a strength. And I recently, you know, met with the doctor and got prescribed Adderall. And there's some mixed, obviously a lot of people have like negative connotations. And the reason I actually decided to give this a shot was, I listened to one of the Huberman Labs podcasts and, they talked a lot about ADHD and what is actually going on in your brain and why something like Adderall, the other medicines help on minimizing the noise. And I just wanted to see what it was like to not have 30 voices in my head at a given time. And what's interesting is I tried it and I'll never try it again. Like I was single threaded the entire day, which, you know, I could get whatever that task was that I wanted done, but man, I missed those 30 other voices that I had in my head. I was like, what is going on? Where's my 30 boys at? Where are my boys at? Like I got 30 people in here talking to me at the time. Like, where are they all at? So I was like, nah, fuck, screw this, you know? And I'll never try it again. So I threw out the rest of it and I didn't like how I felt on it, but you know, it just goes to show you, man, I'm sure there's varying, you know, degrees of, you know, ADHD and things like that. But for me, it's one of those things where I was like, ah, I wonder if it'll help me focus because I'm always all over the place on things that I'm doing. And it did, but I didn't like the way I felt. And I missed the superpower I feel like I have, which is like being able to do 30 things at a given time in my capacity, right?
Well, I mean, I'm no stranger to trying things that will help me focus. And I have tried Adderall and other substances to help me focus. And I will say, for me, I've never been diagnosed with ADHD or ADD or anything like that. And maybe I do have it, I need to get diagnosed, but whatever. For me, it's like, I will hyper-focus on one thing, but if I miss the mark on the thing, I'm either going to have a really productive day and get that, like, nail something, or else I'm, like, down a fucking rabbit hole of, like, memes on Instagram for, like, 5 hours, and I fuck the whole day. So it's like, there's a very fine...
When I would take modafinil,
yeah.
I would be on like an Instagram rampage for like 6 hours straight. I'm like, oh crap, I had to do that. I missed like six calls, you know.
Yeah, hyper focused on the wrong thing. You fucked it. Yeah,
but I will say what was nice about the trip is I was able to take a week off, and I didn't lift. I found this awesome gym that was there, and I went inside just to look, and I was like, I can get one lift in. I didn't do it. I really relaxed. And I'll tell you, the energy levels, the mind clarity, like my recovery scores on Ultra Human, everything just shot up like tenfold. My energy levels back to normal. You know, it just amazes me how our body tells us, hey, slow down. And we don't listen to it all. It's like, why am I tired? Why am I sluggish? Why am I not recovering? Well, you're training too hard. You're training too often. You know, you're
not sleeping enough. You're drinking caffeine at 4 p.m.
Yeah, you're you know, you're working on 30 things that's stressing your body out, and you have all this stress. And then you're like, why am I tired? Right? You know, you're like, okay. So, you know, the week long vacation really did a good justice, and I'm happy to report that I did Orange Theory this morning, nailed it, and then I did a back and chest workout yesterday, and it was one of the best back and chest workouts I've ever had. I will say though, I wish I would have kept lifting, minus the whole, obviously I need recovery time, because the soreness that I get afterwards again, I can barely walk right now. I'm like walking around like, oh, my back, my chest, my back, my chest. I was at Orange Street today and I'm running, and every time my chest would bounce, I'm like, ow, 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 ow.
Yeah, now that you have a substantial muscle mass, it moves whenever you move. Like, yeah. It solidly moves as a block. Yeah. That's right.
My boobs were bouncing as I was running. So.
Well, I will say, I said this to you over the weekend, like, I'm looking forward to us being synced on our normal comms cadence, because it's been off for way too fucking long. And it's like, you've been somewhere, I've been somewhere, I've been in a different time zone, you've been in a different time zone. It has fucked me absolutely completely. I will say, though, I think I beat jet lag coming back from Vegas, and I didn't want to get too on my high horse and talk about it last week, because I was afraid that, like, you know, 4 days later it would just come and hit me and I would just like fall asleep at my desk. But I think I beat jet lag last week and coming home from Vegas, and I'll talk briefly on Vegas and why I was there. I went to acquisition.com headquarters, and for anybody who doesn't know that, I'm a bit of a Alex and Neil Hormozy fanboy. Matt and I got the opportunity to go and hang out with them, and I think it was maybe 60 or 70 other business owners there. And it was a bit of a realization moment for me, as like, and you know that I don't do this very often, but it was a suit, like, I have worked my way to be able to even be in this room, which was kind of cool. A lot of business stuff, and no, I'm not trying to sell my business, but it was good to sort of like think about things as to like what actually goes into selling the business and like what goes into actually running the business. We were going through numbers and I was texting you being like, what does this mean? Like actual business terms. So it was good to think slightly differently. It was good to be in Vegas with Matt, and we recorded some cool content. We brought Chaz. It was quite funny. So Chaz is the videographer that does work for a bit of work for Matt and a bit of work for Blur, and he's like 22 and he hasn't been in Vegas as an adult, he hasn't been in America as an adult. So obviously we brought him to Vegas, and then he was just let free to do whatever we want. And neither of them had ever been shooting, and obviously state by state the laws are slightly different. You can just fucking shoot whatever the fuck you want in Vegas. They go and they were like, right, what do you want to do? He's like, we've got like 800 guns here. And I'm like, what? They just show you like this menu. So they hadn't shown me. We got to have a lot of fun at the shooting range. There's two things that you can do that we didn't do. Number one, you can drive a tank. And number two, you can shoot a minigun from a helicopter. So maybe next time we're in Vegas, we can get involved in that stuff. But yeah, I had a lot of fun in Vegas. It was cool to be there. But I was laughing last week at the goal with being an online coach is living that laptop lifestyle and being able to travel and work and having that quote unquote freedom. But boy, was I glad to fucking be working in my office last week. Like,
you know, one thing I can appreciate, you know, it was mentioned on the podcast too, is like, you know, you would say you're a control freak, but they had said, you know, you're more of a quality freak, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting how our two different styles really, I think, complement each other in the sense that I'm the type of person that is like, get it done. And I don't think about like the quality aspects. Don't get me wrong. Like, I know I have to have a good product or be the best at what we do, right? But I don't package it that way. And eventually I get there, right? You know, so like for me, there's a book that I read a long time ago, and it was called from the guys from 37 Signals that wrote Ruby on Rails. And I mentioned the book before. It's called Rework. Really great book, by the way. If you're looking at just how to manage or how to start, it's like the opposite of what we're taught. It's like, you know, punch a guy in the face, and you know, like, you know, obviously it's extremes, but it's how I run my businesses to be. But they also had
to clarify, Dave doesn't punch people in the face.
No. But they had a book called, I think it was called like application development or something like that. It was like web application development or something like that. And it's how they wrote Ruby on Rails. And there's always a comment in there that always stuck with me that I always remember whenever I'm building something, whether it's a product or a company or, you know, something new or a service, and it's release a half product, not a half ass product. And you know, for me, you think of like the iterative approach and like agile workflow and things like that in development. You know, you don't release a full product when you come out with your first, you know, beta or alpha, right? You know, eventually it grows into what is this mature product, and you iterate or you rebuild the whole thing again down the road when a new technology comes out. But you know, you're always building on a foundation that's solid, but the house isn't necessarily fully built yet, right? And so for me, I'm like probably one extreme where I'm like, okay, they just poured the foundation. The concrete's not, you know, yet, you know, dry. Let's start building the effing house, right? You know, like, hey, we're supposed to wait a little bit. You know, we got to get some things here. And like, I don't care what the house looks like. You know, just make sure that it has a door that you can walk through and secure, right? No, we need to make the house look pretty so that people want to buy the house. Like, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. Okay, you know, so you know, we're two different yet alike people, obviously seeing the same shared vision, just two different ways of getting there that we complement each other to get there, I think, the best and effective way. And, you know, the biggest thing that, so it's funny because you will go to these seminars and you will learn a lot and be inspired and you will use it and you will be a better person for it. Me, I would never be caught dead in those types of meetings. And I would have the worst time going to those. I'd be like, I hate this place. I don't want to listen to this guy talk. I'll figure it out on my own. You know, like I actually get anxiety going into talks and presentations where they're like, hey, this is how I built my business. I'm like, that's cool, but that's not how I built my business. Yeah. And it's like completely different, right? But I know there's parallelisms and you can obviously learn from other people, but I have a tough time listening to other people talk about how they did something. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like my mind doesn't compute that way. I have to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
Now, I might, you know, when I need something that I don't know how to do, it's like the Matrix, right? You plug in the back of your head, you know, you open up a book and boom, I know jiu-jitsu, right? That's how I think about things where I'm like, okay, I have a specific thing that I don't know. I have to figure out how to do it. What's the best way for me to figure out how to do it? I'll go and do that just specifically, but I don't proactively, you know, read books and do other things and learn and expand my knowledge, which again, people are probably like, this guy's an idiot.
That's why I laugh whenever you talk about a book that I read. I'm like, it's a very short list of books. It's like, it's maybe one of three books he's going to mention right now because he doesn't talk about it.
Like, there's not many books. Like, you got me to read
Your Life. Yeah.
That is like one of the only books I've read. Like, well, it's funny because Boyd, you know, I love Boyd. And he gives me a really heartfelt book that, you know, was like really inspirational to him. And, you know, it was at Phoenix and he sends me a message like, hey, man, have you read it yet? I'm like, shit, bro, like, it's going to be a while before I read that book. And you're going to have to keep nagging me before I go and do it. I'm like, I'll read it on vacation. I put it in my bag, had every intention of reading it, never picked the book up. You know, like I have a really tough time with it. It's like a stigma with me. And I have like all these books. I have like Lifespan from like, you know, like, you know, like Dr. Atia's new book. I want to know what's inside of there.
Yeah.
I just don't want to pick the book up and read it.
The thing that I've decided is I'm not a reader, but I'm a book collector. Like, I've got so many books over here, but I'm not interested in reading them for that exact same reason. But I will say a note on the quality and the product development thing. It brings me onto two points. Number one, the second iteration of what the Hacks program is and the relaunch of coaching. We will do an entire podcast on that because I'm excited to share that. And that's something that I've been working on in the background. Number two, I mean, just as a reminder to everybody, we're still doing the supplements company. We haven't forgotten about it. I think the biggest thing.
You gotta respond to Jess.
Yes, I know. But yes, I think that the biggest thing for that is understanding we're still doing it in the background. I did have a call and meeting with Sean today. And I think, for me, and this is just, I guess, a full transparency thing for everyone, I was in so much of a like rush and focus to have an initial product as we did for Phoenix for the event that it was like so hyper-focused. And then now that we know that we've done that and we can just sort of like iterate through the flavors, the formulas and all the other bits and pieces, trying to find a name and sort out all the other like, you know, non-important shit out. We're still doing it in the background for anybody who doesn't know, but we will get there. And I think like I'm enjoying, and you're exactly right, like, you want to just get the fucking thing done. And I'm like, but what about like this very one specific thing that I think is important that maybe not even anybody will notice, but that's, I think, why we complement each other on that. But yes, there will be more updates on that. And there'll be more updates on what's going on with coaching. Because I haven't obviously opened the doors in coaching in we're like 3.5 months. So it'll be interesting to start bringing some new people on because they just had other focuses in other places. So we'll do a podcast on that potentially next week.
Yeah.
I think we might have a guest on recording this podcast this week that I didn't tell you about.
What?
Not today.
Did you record a podcast without me? No.
A guest on a podcast that we're going to record this week.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh my, like, are you cheating at me now? Is it being replaced? Are you telling the audience that I'm being replaced? No.
Don't worry. I just have booked a guest for that we will both record a podcast with that person this week. Anyway.
Okay.
So you want to talk about why your cut didn't work?
So yeah, listen, this is, you know, we talk about our successes and our failures, and I've had a lot of success you know, with this program. I've had a lot of success in the past, and I continue to have success.
Can I give my 2 cents on why I think it didn't work?
Well, hang on. Let me just preface it. I won't ruin it, but I will call you in. Okay. So, you know, I've gone through several what you would consider cuts and bulks or surpluses and deficits, right? And I've had a lot of success with those. I've had a lot of success in where I wanted to go with my gains. This last time, I did a surplus, and then the goal was for vacation to be ready, you know, to have a nice lean, you know, body for vacation when I was on there. And it wasn't bad, but it definitely wasn't where I needed to be. I probably needed to be another 10 to 15 pounds leaner, and I failed at it. And I didn't hit the goals that I needed to. And I'll let Ben pontificate on why, but I'm pretty sure he knows why. But we'll let him talk first, and I'll talk a little bit about what I struggled with, because I did fail this time around. And what I do like about this, though, is, you know, everything's a learning lesson. And, you know, when you have these types of things, to me, what I look at this as is, yes, it's a failure, but it's going to be a success next time. And it's going to be an overwhelming success, because I won't let it be a failure next time going around. But I'll let him pontificate on why he thinks I did.
Just to caveat this, I didn't know we were having this conversation until I just hit record. Dave was like, I'm going to speak about why my cut was a failure. It's like, okay, well, I didn't know it was a failure, so strap yourself in. I think a couple of the things that come to mind is, number one, Dave has not been consistent with his check-ins. I think that is definitely plays a big part in it. Number two, I think, and this is, I speak from my own personal experience on this, there is the eternal battle with wanting to be bigger, and when you're bigger, wanting to be leaner. So not actually committing to the goal. It's like, okay, for this period of time, I'm going to focus on getting leaner, and I accept the fact that I'm not going to make as much progress in terms of strength and gains. And in the gym, I'm going to feel smaller. My clothes will feel different, and I won't like it because I've spent so much time getting bigger, but that's okay, because that's what the goal is. And then the flip thing happens as well. Whenever you start to get bigger, you're like, oh, I feel good on my t-shirts, but I'm not as lean. And then you're like, maybe I need to be leaner. And it's like ping pong back and forward. And the third thing that I will say, you got something to say?
No, you're gone.
The third thing that I will say is, and again, this is, I'm only talking from my own personal experience, so I don't know if this is specifically. I feel like whenever you go through it so many times, it's easy to get complacent with it. So I know myself that I can do it. So the first time you do it, you don't really know that you're going to do it. So you're all in. So you're like, I'll tick every single box just to make sure that I can definitely do it. And once you've done it, you're like, okay, I know I can do this. So you're not as invested in it. And actually, I've had this conversation a couple of times with clients in a similar vein as to, like, they don't feel like they're as attached to their initial goals. So whenever you first start, the pain of change is so great that you want to do it. The urgency is really there. But the more you go through the progress, and the more that you have confidence in the thing that it works, the more that you start to, like, I don't want to say cut corners, but you're not like fully into the process. And then that's where it doesn't necessarily work as much. They would be the three things that I would say. And that's from my own personal experience.
And you 100% nailed it. I would say the third one, I was going to say exactly that I got too comfortable, you know, and, you know, what's interesting, the first time you go through, let's just say a bulking phase or a surplus, we don't like the word bulking because it's not this crazy, you know, get, you know, at 100 pounds or 50 pounds or 70 pounds, right? It's very controlled, right? So you know, this whole surplus phase, right? The first time you go through this, you're like, oh my God, I'm going back to Fat Dave again. Like, this is terrible. So you're terrified, right? So you have that fear going into it. Then you get to the cutting phase, like, oh my God, thank God, I can't wait to shred this off. And then you're like, well, wait a minute, I was like super strong then, and I was big. And look at that one picture. You see that one picture of me? I'm like, oh my God, my arms are just like, holy smokes. I'm like, this is huge. You know, like, then I want to be back to that again because I know I can do this again. And so, you know, we had run this twice, I think, right? We've done a really big surplus and a really big cut and a really big surplus and a really big cut. This last cut went phenomenal. I was the leanest I've ever been. I was like, what, 217? Mm-hmm. And I looked incredible. I had a six pack. It was probably the best cut I've ever done. And you know, with all that progress with the muscle mass that we built over time, right? Well, this last time we decided to do more of an extended surplus to where I would, you know, be in a controlled situation growing, but, you know, to really try to add on. And I got to 255 or something like that? Yeah,
252, 253, I think.
Yeah. And so, you know, I gained quite a bit. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, cool, it's cut time. You know, flip a switch. And, you know, I didn't have as much vested interest in this one, nor the fear or the scare. And by the way, I just hit a 600-pound effing deadlift. So I'm like, I don't want to lose that. Right. And then, so then, you know, I'm like, well, I got to do his cut. So I start cutting down and I got all the way down to, I think my lowest, I was at like 231. Okay. And after that, I'm like, and I, by the way, I had lost a lot of strength. So, you know, I was definitely not as strong as I was, obviously, my surplus. Makes sense. You know, you're not eating as many calories. Your muscle isn't as big.
There's also 20 pounds less of you.
20 pounds less of you. So, you know, I was, you know, struggling with, you know, 555 and then 525, you know, and I was like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, I can't deadlift 600 pounds. This is not good. And so I got more complacent with what I was doing because I was more comfortable with what I've done before. I didn't have that fear. I let the system lapse as well. My check-ins, right? So my check-ins became less and less frequent. I just chalked it up to I'm too busy, right? Which, you know, that's bullshit because, you know, I have been very consistent for 3+ years with check-ins and never missed one regardless of how busy I was. It goes to show you what you can do on your mind, mm-hmm. right? Your mind's like, oh, dude, I'm so busy this Wednesday. I'll get it next Wednesday. And Ben will understand. It's cool, right? And then it's next Wednesday. You're like, well, fuck, I got all this stuff. I can't do this right now. Like, I'm too busy. Like, I'll just get it next Wednesday. And then I'd get like one in next Wednesday, but I wouldn't have any of my data in there. So like, you're like, well, I don't know if you're sleeping good. I don't know if you're doing this good. You know, are you injured? I have no idea. So, you know, it was not a well-structured approach that I normally run. And, you know, I did get down. Like I said, I was down to 231. Right now I'm sitting at like 239 or 238. So, you know, I probably needed to drop another 15 pounds or so. You know, I probably needed to be around 225 or 230. 230 is probably okay, but 225 would have been probably more desirable. And that would have been a much better, you know, success. So, you know, we haven't talked about this yet. So I need to do, obviously, I'm doing check-in Wednesday, trust me. You know, with all the shit I got going on right now.
Tune in next week to find out if Dave's always done a check-in or not.
Listen, we're going back to the basics. We're going back to the basics, everybody. We're going back to the straight up, you know, fear of failing again. So, and, oh, I think this is good for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm scared of failing again doing this. However, I need to be big again. So we're going to be doing.
Well, here we'll do this live because yes, you need to be big again, but we need to give ourselves more of a runway. So we need to do a little bit of a cut to come into it. And two big lessons in this. Number one, I will take ownership and responsibility that I should have been more on you with your check-in. Now, I will say we do have the benefit of we communicate every single day, but we do also talk a lot of nonsense. We do talk some sense, but like there are bits that get lost in translation of what's actually going on. But the second thing is, I think understanding that, what is the best way? Well, I guess the biggest thing is you may see it as a failure, but previous version of you would have absolutely fucking loved to go away on vacation as you did this time around. So it's like, it's not a failure technically. Yes, you would have liked to have been better, but in the grand scheme of things, you are still in a much better position overall.
Yes. So I will tell you, I felt amazing with my shirt off. I felt amazing on the beach. I still had abs. I mean, I have visible abs. You know, it just wasn't as lean as I would like to have been, right? I was extremely muscular. I got complimented all the time by, of course, other dudes. Like, that's all I care about. Yeah. But, you know, that's all I care about. So he's like, oh my, one of the locals, he's like, damn, dude, like, you got those big muscles. I'm like, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Thanks,
you know,
thanks,
like,
man. You too. Fist bump.
I'm like, see that? But it was, I felt great, you know, and obviously a tan adds a whole nother element to that as well. Right. So I was tan. I looked great. I felt great. I even wore, you familiar with, was it Young LA, the brand? Mm-hmm. So Young LA is like a bodybuilding, type of clothing line. And, Young LA has these really short shorts, you know, that show off your quads. Cause like, what's funny is like, you really can't tell I have built up legs unless you see my quads. Cause I have like these little, cause my fucking calves, I don't want to go there. It's actually a funny story. I'm walking and I see this dude and he's like the skinniest dude ever. Like, I mean, he had to weigh like a buck 35, but he had the largest calves I had ever seen in my entire life. I'm like, you son of a bitch. You know, like you son of a bitch. And he was tall. He was like 6'2". And he had like the most amazing calves I've ever seen. And I'm like, So he's walking in front of me, and I have my whole kids here. It's on the side of the street in the West End, and I'm just staring at this guy's cab as I'm walking. I'm like mesmerized. I'm like, every time I can see his like muscles moving and the veins are popping out, I'm like, oh my God, those are amazing. And Aaron looks at me, you're like, are you serious right now? Like, you've been staring at his cab for like 5 minutes. I'm like, yeah, I'm not looking up. But anyways, so I was mesmerized by this guy's calves. So amazing calves. I was gonna go over and compliment if I walked past. I'm like, dude, your calves, like, tell me what you do. You know, like, I need to know. In fact, I'll even lose all this muscle on top.
So I think for to give a little bit more runway, so to try and put us both back on the same path, we'll say, I'm gonna do a little bit of a cut coming up to the event in Orlando in May, which is like 6 weeks away. So I feel like you should be on that. I'll go through it in your check-in, but I feel like you should be on that same path, and we'll drop down maybe 10, 12, 15 pounds in that time frame, and then that'll put you in a better position, leaner, to then start moving into a surplus, and we can do that slightly longer term again.
Yeah, we can chat about it. What I would prefer to do is chalk this up as this was my cut, and then go until close to Vegas, and then prior to Vegas, hit a cut, and then while I'm in Vegas, also cut. And there's a reason why I want to do that. I want to immerse myself in the worst possible situation and stay true to a hard cut while I'm actually in a place that would probably relate to not having it. But we can talk about it. You're my coach, obviously, and I'm going to go with what you were saying.
But it's not what I want. It's what you want. I just have my perspective.
I just need to be big again. I just need to be big again.
I will also say this, and this is a like genuine realization that I've had myself over the past, I don't know, couple of weeks. I think this is the first time that I've been happy to maintain a specific level of body composition. I'm not like too caught up in I want to be bigger or I want to be leaner. Like, yes, I do want to be both of those things, but I'm happy with my overall physique, and I've been able to maintain it while having a fucking crazy travel schedule for the past 6 or 7 weeks. And every time I go into the change rooms in the gym, and I don't know what sort of magic light in their magic mirror they've got in there, I'm like, damn, I've still actually managed to really stay in shape here. So for me, this is the first time in just over 10 years where I'm like, if I stay this body composition, I'd be in a happy place. Now, I am going to push to be a little bit leaner to go into Orlando because it's 6 weeks away and I just want to be different than people who saw me whenever I was in Phoenix. And then that'll give me more of a runway to then push calories on the other side. But yeah, it's the first time I've been like, do you know what? Like I don't want to, but if I stayed the same, I think I'm about 215 at the minute. I think that's right. About 97 kilos, I think. And I've been able to stay around that for the past 7 weeks of being literally fucking all around the world. It's been pretty good to be able to do it. And it's been pretty good to be like, do you know what? I'm actually okay with this. And actually one conversation I had with Matt whenever we were in Vegas, because Chad was like, we go train. He does CrossFit, which is a different conversation for a different time. He was like, you know, like so hyped to train every day. And was like, we trained hard one day in Dragon's Lair. And then we went and did like arms and shoulders a couple of days in the hotel in the gym. In the Cosmo, which is actually really nice gym. In the Cosmo, the hotel gym is absolutely spot on.
The gym is definitely good. Yeah. I love that gym. Yeah. He's all the time. But it was like, have, I think up to 100 pounds, I think, on the dumbbells
yeah,
too. So.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we both sort of said, like, it's almost, I've put in 10 years of work, Matt's put in 20 years of training. It's like, we're at the position now where we don't need to do a lot to just maintain. And it actually feels good to be in that position. And then I know, obviously, when the time comes to push it a little bit, then we can push it a little bit. But yeah, the first time that I felt like I'm happy with the body composition, I'm happy with how I look with my clothes on and my clothes off, because obviously that's the battle of like when you're lean, you look smaller with your clothes on, but you look great with your clothes off. But when you're big, you look good with your clothes on, but not so good with your clothes off.
It's exactly right. It's exactly right. And like I said, I'm happy with the balance that I had. You know, I had a great balance of muscle mass and abs, so, but you know, again, not as lean as I would have liked to have been on the beach. Like, you know, like the last time, I think it was last year, I went to where did we go last year? I can't remember. The U.S. side of the Caribbean, St. Thomas. Mm-hmm. And I was really lean, you know, again, like that was probably one of the best cuts that I'd ever done there. So, I just think it was again, a lot of those failures he had mentioned before. So we'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. We got a good plan. I won't let that happen again. And I'm definitely going to.
Well, what we need to do is actually just come up with
today.
A plan.
I mean, I started today. Like, I have everything logged. I've been methodical with it. I'm back. I'm back, baby. I'm back.
Don't call it a comeback, LL Cool J. But I think we will talk about it. I'll see where we're at with your check-in and actually have the information, but I will map out in terms of weeks so that we know we stick to the plan. And what we'll need to do is maybe we could do a brief check-in every single week on the podcast so people know that you're actually sticking to it and what's going on as to where you're at, and a reminder of, like, we're doing, this is the goal, well, this is what we're doing.
Please hold me accountable, community, too. You know, like I'm supposed to be out here, you know,
Reed's being getting shit on Twitter. You're going to be getting shit on Twitter all day.
And I, you know, I had my own failure here. So, you know, I'm going to definitely double down on it. And, you know, and you know, I also struggle, too. Like, I'm having, like, these internal battles with myself of how to train. So we got to figure that out, too. It's like, do I continue to push heavy weights while also balancing the hypertrophy aspects? Or do I do, like, balancing more of the bodybuilding? Or do I continue to do... I like the power building stuff, but again, it's like, you're spending 2 hours in the gym, you know, so I got to figure out some really, really tough decisions here in the next, you know, few weeks to get me kind of where I want to be.
What we need to do is, like, have our initial call again, like have an initial consult call again and just see where you're at, like reestablish the baseline and go from there.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, no more 600 pound deadlifts. I'm thinking not spending as much time with maxing out the weights, but more so on the quality of the work that I'm doing and obviously the muscle building process, but also still being strong. So I'm getting there, but it's hard for me because I would spend, you know, like 3.5 hours in the gym and I'd be hitting all these massive PRs, you know, and then all of a sudden now I'm like, well, I'm getting bigger, getting stronger, but not as strong as I could be. So it's a tough mental balance that I'm trying to.
I will say this, obviously, the goal is to be strong and to look strong. And
yes.
Matt said something, well, we had a conversation between us whenever we were in the gym. I can't remember how it came about, but we're talking about, like, what the superpower is. And he was like, your superpower is you're much stronger than you look. And I was like, I don't know if I'm taking that as a compliment or I'm a little bit offended, but thanks, I think. So I'll take it in this one instance. But yeah, I think we need to have a conversation as to what direction we're going to think, because yes, we do want to be bigger, but we also want to, like, you know, if we talk about longevity, like doing 600 pound deadlifts. And actually, speaking of all this, hold on a second, I forgot. You're going to fucking train with Ronnie Coleman? What the fuck?
Yes. So it might not just be me, it might be you as well, and maybe a couple other folks. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But it was crazy. So, you know, Ronnie released a new line of shoes, and they had this like VIP package you could purchase on top of it. So I didn't know this at all. I just pre-registered for the shoes. I was gonna get some Ronnie shoes. They look sweet. It's got like Yeah Buddy in the back of it. They actually look like really cool kicks. So I was like, I'll wear these. Like, you know, I'll rep Ronnie Coleman anytime. And you know, Ronnie's been an icon of mine for quite a long time. He's on my mural, you know, in the gym, obviously, along with you, obviously, and Jay Cutler and Arnold. And so there's like this VIP package. I was like, what's this? He's like, private training session with Ronnie Coleman. Like, Oh my God.
Yeah, buddy.
No. Like, yeah, buddy. There it is. I'm on vacation. I'm like, add to cart, you know? And it's funny because, like, I've gotten to know the CEO a little bit of that runs the shoe company. And Ronnie sent me a personalized message saying, hey, Dave, thanks so much for the VIP package. I look forward to working out with you. I'm like,
what the fuck?
Ronnie Coleman telling me you didn't work out with me. I'm like, this is crazy. So
if you think back to the Dave before, like, if you think back to, you know, 135 pound deadlift, Dave. And now, like, where the stage that you're at now of, like, you're getting voice messages or video messages from Ronnie Coleman about Ronnie Coleman.
Yeah. I actually have his phone number. It's like, I'm like, what? Like, I have his phone number. You know, it's like, okay, this is really happening. So it'll be interesting. But obviously, you know, we got to get some dates planned and, you know, figure out when the best is. It's actually the ball's in my court now. He messaged me. He said, like, when you get back from vacation, just let me know what dates work for you. And he's out of Texas. So, I would probably fly in, I think, DFW or I think so. Anyway.
So we're going to Texas?
We're going to Texas. We're on a road trip. But yeah, it should be fun. But yeah, and then one last thing I wanted to hit on before we end the podcast is so.
Sometimes I get nervous when you say that because I don't know what's going on.
No, it's really crazy. It's a good learning lesson on how supplements can be completely bogus. And when something is hyped up so good, is it always that case, right? And so there was eight studies that came out recently around lion's mane. Mm-hmm. And lion's mane, being a mushroom, mm-hmm. was touted as having a monumental impact on focus, clarity, as well as memory retention, brain, everything else, right? And so now you see lion's mane in literally almost every nootropic supplement, in, you know, any major pre-workout. A lot of times we'll have lion's mane in it. We stayed away from lion's mane in ours. These studies basically showed that it had little to no benefit whatsoever in any cognitive function at all. Like nothing, like zero, like doesn't do anything. There was like some off shelf thing, like where if you were like, you know, I think it was like in your 60s or 70s and you had cognitive decline, it might help a little bit.
Some super specific,
it's like this like really weird edge case, and the data is like, well, it's probably not, to be honest with you, but there might be something there. More studies need to be done, but basically, looks to be a bunch of hogwash. So, you know, I thought that was really crazy because, you know, you look at these supplements and they tout all of these different amazing benefits, and we don't know much about a lot of these ones that come out, right? You know, like there's one right now, it's like Sajati mushrooms or something like that, or Sajati tar. It's like a tar. It's like an extract tar that comes out of like a...
I have been using that. I've been using that. So I got hit with the Instagram ad just one too many times. I was like, fuck it.
Oh, I'll go right there and go grab mine as well that I had in there. So I had the same thing over there. Like I have the best.
It's the worst thing to put into anything because you take it, number one. Awful. You have
these gummies now. Okay, yeah, gummies are not as bad, but it tastes like an ashtray.
But I put it in my morning shake with the Element and creatine, but like, so it's like a tar. I have liquid and then powder, and I'm like, how do I put this? Like, what way do I? How do I get this in? I'm like, you know, two spoons trying to get it off the end of the spoon in the thing.
Anyway, what you can extrapolate from at least the Shiajat stuff is that it has some really powerful antioxidants and a lot of vitamins and minerals. Okay, so it's a very potent mineral complex. Now, could you get that from literally anything else? Absolutely, right? Does it have some secret formula that this tar magically reverses aging? No. You know, so, you know, you got to be really careful on the claims of a lot of the different types of supplements out there. That's why when we built our pre-workout, it wasn't based off of, you know, pontification. One, it was a lot of experimentation, you know, and how it made us feel, right? But two, it was also backed by copious amounts of data studies. Like the GABA is my favorite. Like, I don't understand why GABA isn't in literally every pre-workout.
Don't be telling everybody. The secrets.
Our ingredient list will be fully transparent. Yeah. Every single dose, everything is there. There's no proprietary blends, nothing like that. And, you know, the big thing about GABA that is fascinating, and Huberman's a huge fan of GABA. He uses it for his nighttime for the GABA receptors. And what's amazing about GABA, if you take it as a pre-workout, is it's anywhere between 4 to 10 times the amount of human growth hormone production naturally in your body. So it shoots up your IGF-1 levels in your body if you take it as a pre-workout. It also heavily focuses on, as a nootropic, for focus and clarity. And there's copious amounts of scientific data studies, you know, peer-reviewed, randomized control studies, human control studies, animal control studies, all showing the benefits of GABA. And I have no idea, like, I'd rather put GABA in there than lion's mane, which is like this magic potion of mushrooms that's supposed to give you this.
I will say, I know I'm biased, but again, every time I take our pre-workout, I'm like, fucking absolutely nailed it. Like, this morning. So I will say this again, like, I brought the tub with me. I was like, I don't know whether I'm going to be able to get this back through customs and that's been opened or whatever, but I brought it to Vegas because I wanted Matt to try it. I was like a little bit nervous because I was like, you know, obviously I've tried it, you tried it, everybody tried it. I was like, there, I'd be like, here, you know, take this. And I mean, again, same idea, absolutely. Even the flavor, it was the strawberry lime one, which again, you put in an email about fucking kiwi. It's not kiwi flavor.
Oh shit, I did the kiwi again? Oh my god.
Strawberry lime flavor. But yeah, I can say that we absolutely have nailed that. And yes, and obviously everything, full transparency, it'll all be on. I think one thing that we'll do as well is, number one, we should probably, once we go to launch, record a whole episode on the pre-workout, the formula, why it's all in, but also create content around each ingredient and why it's in. Because yeah. I think,
oh, we will.
Like, absolutely. It's like, oh yeah, this is in it, this is in it, this is in it. But like, why is it in it? Why is it dosed the way it is? What's the benefits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and the big thing that you know we really tried to accomplish with all of this was, you know, like we, you know, we added some L-theanine and, you know, some other, you know, it was really, and we tried so many different, you know, variations of it, and different experimentations and seeing what works best for us. And then, you know, obviously sharing it with a lot more folks, you know, we finally got to the point to where, you know, we felt comfortable sharing with others. And I you know, I shared it with Dom, and Dom's like, dude, this is the best pre-workout. And Dom's like, obviously a meathead powerlifter. You know, and then he shared with all of his buddies that are all of his workout crew, like his powerlifting group.
Yeah.
They're like, dude, as soon as you guys get this, like, this is my new pre-workout, right? You know, so I think we absolutely nailed it.
I did order some. I don't know how this is gonna go, but I did order some like baggies. So I'm gonna send out some samples to people because people have been asking me like this is a black with no label. I'm gonna put some powder in it and try and send it to someone. So I might get arrested, but. I'm going to send that out for some other people to try. So if anybody wants one, DM me on Twitter.
So we got, you know, but we still got a lot of work to do. You know, we got obviously one, you know, we got the super secret project that still hasn't been released yet, but, you know, we're getting there. But I think there's, you know, we got a lot of cool stuff coming through here soon with everything.
We do. It's good to be back recording podcasts at a normal cadence. I will also say, I know that you asked me, was I going to record a podcast with anybody else? Probably from the end of this month, I'm going to do client-specific podcasts, which I'm not inviting you to, but I think it will be me and other clients. I want you to be the first one. It'll be a slightly different dynamic, and we'll start recording a second episode per week, because I think the episode in Phoenix reminded me that there are so many other people's stories that we're not telling. And I will always say, and again, Dill said this at the end, like one of the first things that I said to him about going to Phoenix is, I don't want you to make this about me, make it about them. And I actually messaged him just before we came on the podcast here today, saying like, where the fuck's the documentary? Like, where the fuck's the final after movie? So he's finishing up bits and pieces like that. And I'm excited to see that because he hasn't thought of it as an after movie. He's thought of it as a documentary. So I'm like, I don't know what is coming on that one. But I spent some time with him last week. And he just like, his mind from a creative standpoint and how he sees things almost like cinematically of like next event. He's always talking about like the Belfast event and going back
looking
to
Vegas. At the forward of everything.
So it's cool to sort of see his ideas, but we'll have that within the next couple of weeks, release that and all the other bits and pieces. But it's good to be back recording podcasts at a normal cadence.
Now, really quick, I just wanted to run through just some of the ingredients because I found the ingredients list here. I don't think we've actually done a breakdown. We'll do a larger podcast, you know, on that. Mm-hmm. But I think the cool part about what we did is like there's enough. So Dom actually asked me this question. I thought was really cool. He's like, well, you know, I'm not a heavy stim person at the, you know, 400 or 350.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, caffeine. He's like, if I do the half dosage, which is the normal scoop, you know, am I still getting the dosages appropriately? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we dosed everything based on the research and what's everything else. So if you're a 200, milligram caffeine person, which I'm actually becoming that person now. So I'm actually using less caffeine.
Just drank 200 milligrams of caffeine while we've been recording the podcast.
I did, but I also had 200 milligrams this morning. So this is like, you know, so good. But we dosed everything properly. So, you know, we had obviously the GABA, we had citrulline malate. Mm-hmm. 5,000 there, and that's amazing as like nitric oxide booster, so pump, oxygen enhancer, muscle recovery, helps promote like oxygen delivery nutrients to the muscle, especially during heavy exercise. There's some really good data studies in there. There's an NIH article, PMC 8571142, that goes through the benefits of using citrulline malate as kind of that. We originally put creatine in it. We took it out. There's a lot of reasons for that. Just if you want to add creatine, go for it. I'm a huge fan of it, but it is, controversial. The beta alanine is at 1500 for one, 3000 for two, which is a great low dosage of that. So you're not getting
a huge
itch. I
will say that I'm not a huge beta alanine fan, and there has been no point. Like I've had one scoop, I've had two scoops, I've had a little bit more than two scoops the other day, like total accident, we'll call it. But no, like I haven't been like trying to fucking scratch my face off. So yeah, good, good enough.
Yep. And it helps regulate acid in muscles as well as muscle recovery and endurance. We have betaine HCL, which is just a way of better absorption with the ingredients, but also helps with making sure that you don't get irritated stomachs from the stuff that you're putting in, because obviously you're putting a lot of nutrients into your body at this point in time. So it helps with a lower irritation. We did 2000 of taurine, which is just an absolute staple amino acid for muscle development, recovery, endurance, growth. Show some massive impacts, by the way, on longevity. So there was a recent study that came out. Here, I have it right here. This is from Columbia Doctors, but there's an NIH study that came out on June 8th that showed some massive anti-aging molecules with taurine. So dosing taurine at certain levels has been shown to increase lifespan, as well as the other benefits of taurine, which is the recovery, endurance, growth, et cetera. It basically helps clean up all the zombie cells in your body. It's just a huge, huge one that, again, I don't see a lot of taurine in a lot of the pre-workouts, which is just mind-boggling to me. We got L-tyrosine, which is a non-essential amino acid, but it's a precursor to an amino acid called phenylalanine, which basically is like during stressful situations like endurance or lifting, it helps the neurotransmitter in your brain, you know, specifically hitting the epinephrine, norepinephrine and dopamine inhibitors to give you a really good focus of clarity, as well as energy levels. So you should notice some pretty decent energy level increases. We did a 2,500 milligram dosage of that for tyrosine. The caffeine is at 200, but it's the caffeine is based off of short, medium, and long duration caffeine. So you basically get that immediate absorption of caffeine, which usually hits within 10 to 15 to 20 minutes. Then you get the extended and then the delayed. Extended is going to take, you know, about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then delayed will be about, you know, 3 to 4 hours after that. So you don't get those crashes of, you know, the burn as you go through.
You just ride the caffeine wave for a little bit longer.
That's right. That's right. And then we used S7, which is a blend of seven different naturally occurring plants that focus on nitric oxide and oxygen transportation for your muscles. So getting that pump. So it's got a lot of the pump element in there. I'm a huge fan of S7. It's used at Alpha Line as well as a number of others. Big fan of the blend there. I get some insane pumps with it. And then we got some Santa Energy NU, which is 400 milligrams of that, which is a evergreen herb that's in the West Coast. Huge on metabolism, energy boosting antioxidants. It gives you like a nice extra kick. And so not a lot of people put this in there. So like this is a really rare one that a lot of people don't know about. It gives you like almost another caffeine kick, but no crash, clean energy. And it's really, it really helps with a lot of the, like just pushing through a hard workout. We included some salt in there, obviously to, recoup some of the electrolytes, bioperine, which is just black pepper extract, just a small dosage of that to help with better absorption, safe. And Yohimbe extract. So we use the Yohimbe root extracts, which is great for pump. Energy, fat loss, suppresses appetite, reduces fatigue. Alpha GPC, of course, which was one of my favorites, but we did a lower dosage of alpha GPC. So we did 0.3 on this one, and it's a mixture. So I've noticed if I dose really high alpha GPC, that I get a headache afterwards. With lower dosages of alpha GPC, you get the nootropic effects, the energy effects without any of the crashes or headaches or things like that. Big fan of alpha GPC, super safe. Multiple studies show increased power outputs, increased nootropics, mental speed and power, increased exercise recovery, increased natural growth hormone production. Although, you know, we're not going to see with our dosage that natural hormone production gives you like insane amounts of alpha GPC for that. That's why you have the GABA in there. And then you literally need 600 milligrams of alpha GPC if you want to get the IGF-1 portion of there, which I feel like complete crap with 600 milligrams with that. So we only have, you know, 300 in there. So a lot of cognitive support and everything else. Magnesium. So we added magnesium as well. So huge staple for energy production in your body. Helps your neurotransmitters, your brain activity, as well as some energy production. Magnesium is a huge staple. And just again, a lot of just really great. So we did magnesium malate, 200 milligrams of that. And then there's like some, you know, anti-caking in there and stuff like that, but all like silicon dioxide, which is, you know, small agent, just anti-caking. So it doesn't like, you know, bind together into balls and stuff like that as it dries out. But it's, you know, full transparency on the whole list. We're still you know, obviously working out the final details of getting it out, but you know, we should definitely have some new updates here soon as we kind of press through it, but I'm really excited about it. And again, I use it all the time. Nailed it. Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I know it's easy for me to say, but like genuinely, like it from a, energy output from a pump from a high field during, after, like, absolutely nailed it. The CFO,
yep.
Dave Kennedy, Chief Formulation Officer.
I'm cool with that, man.
Right? No, that's fucking, I mean,
that was it.
For context, I know that we say this quite a lot recently, but it is literally 10:15 p.m. and this goes out at 5 a.m. my time. So this is as close to the wire as we have ever got up. But thanks for listening. We may or may not have a guest next week. I have planned it, but we just need to make sure that we can coordinate it with the three of us. And then we'll do a podcast on updates on what's going on within the Hacks program and VC training and some client stuff. And then potentially we'll talk a little bit more on the supplement company.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
Catch us on all social media platforms at WeHackHealth. Join us in the Discord. The game is ready. I know everybody's been like, I've lost the game again. I've lost the game again. The game is actually ready. So it's just on me to actually set that up. So tune in for a little bit more on the game and how we're going to gamify our entire Discord server.
It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you guys next week. Guys and girls next week. Thanks, man.
See you next week.
Later.